Our city council meeting, it is July 7th, 2014, and I'd like us to stand for a moment of silence, and then after that, our Parks and Rec Director Kathy Petker is going to do our flag salute. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I asked Director Petker to do that because tonight we're going to have a proclamation about National Park and Recreation Month. So I thought it would be fitting if she did the flag salute. Could we have the roll call, please?
Here.
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 Here. Here. Our closed session announcement is next. City Attorney, could you read that announcement
Certainly.
For us?
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council members, members of the public. Council met in closed session during two meetings, one on June 16th on three items. Labor negotiations, both with SEIU and GBPOA, and a conference with real property negotiators with regard to Digital West Network and potential terms of leases. In the right-of-way, there were no reportable actions taken in that closed session. Also on June 25th, Council met closed session again on labor negotiations with SEIU, and there were no reportable actions then either.
Thank you very much. This is the time we do our agenda review, and the City Council will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. Are there any changes from anyone? Okay, seeing none.
There being none, I'll move we accept the agenda as published.
I'll second that.
Moved by Councilmember Nichols and seconded by Councilmember Bright. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. We'll go with the order of the day. Next, we have our ceremonial proclamation designating July 2000.
Important to establishing and maintaining the quality of life in our communities, ensuring the health of our citizens, and contributing to the economic and environmental well-being of a community and region. And whereas parks and recreation programs build healthy, active communities that aid in the prevention of chronic disease, increase a community's economic prosperity through increased property values, expansion of the local tax base, increased tourism, the attraction and retention of businesses, and crime reduction. And whereas parks and natural recreation areas improve water quality, protect groundwater, prevent flooding, improve the quality of the air we breathe, provide vegetative buffers to development, produce habitat for wildlife, ensure the ecological beauty of our community, and provide a place for children and adults to connect with nature and recreate outdoors. And whereas it is established through a statewide public opinion research that 98% of California households visit a local park at least once a year. 2 in 3 households visit a park once a month, and 50% of households participate in an organized recreation program. And most park use is with family and friends. Whereas the residents of Grover Beach, including children, youth, families, adults, seniors, businesses, community organizations, and visitors benefit from the parks, trails, open space, sports fields, and courts, facilities, programs, classes, and special events provided by our very own Park and Rec Department. Whereas the City of Grover Beach urges all residents to recognize that parks and recreation programs enrich the lives of our residents and visitors and add value to our communities, homes, and neighborhoods. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Grover Beach City Council hereby recognizes July as National Park and Recreation Month.
Super. And I should let you know, as Director Petker is coming forward, that I was at Dinosaur Caves Park in Pismo. They had invited us to help with the Pismo Reserve fundraising. And so I was able to go along and tell them that we had dug deep from our reserves and encourage everyone else to do that. So fitting for this week. So do you want to come up for a photo and we'll all gather in?
Send it to the national website.
Yeah. Can you do it this way? Thank you, Commander Peters.
Honorable Mayor, council members, I'm going to give you a brief presentation of an annual PowerPoint of our special events in our city parks and facilities. It'll just be a second to load up.
And continuing to extol the Parks and Recs theme while the PowerPoint is coming up, our highly successful sizzling summer concert series is ongoing, so and still has, 3 months to go? So
yes.
Happens every Sunday from 3 to 6, and there's vendors and great music and just a good place to recreate.
And it's been really busy the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. We'd like to share with the city council and members of the audience are some pictures here, and they are not in any particular order. They do highlight several of our special events and our beautiful parks. And as the proclamation had mentioned, we're very proud of our parks and all of the activities available to the community. We, in the Parks and Recreation field, we like to pride ourselves on knowing that what we provide is for the benefit of the community and participants, and especially the opportunities for community members to come together and socialize with their neighbors and friends and family. And I probably should have had music going with this, but I think all of the pictures are self-explanatory. There's our Grover Beach Community Center. Our preschool program is offered in there, and evening classes. Our mother-son dinner dance. Mm-hmm. It's our 14th year we've offered this. It's very popular. We do have a golf course in our city. Anyone's coming to Grover Beach to golf? We have our annual volleyball league, co-ed, and it's every year in the month of March through June. We have our beautiful Grover Beach Boardwalk, another proud point of our city. We have the Cal Poly Women's Basketball Clinic. They come out every year for 15 years, and they teach free skills, basketball skills to kids. You can ride your horse on our beach. You can take you can send your kids to Lego Camp. We just had that 2 weeks ago. Very popular. They put 100,000 Legos in the Ramona Center. Kite surfing on the beach. We have a performing arts program, the Grover Beach Shooting Stars. Dance, ballet, glee, performing arts. Surf fishing. Our annual carved pumpkin contest and Halloween activities, which will be held again on Halloween night. And our ever popular Dune Run, held during the weekend of the Stone Soup Music Festival, which will be August 23rd this year. And our great skate park that is operated by the South County YMCA. And our popular Sizzling Summer Concert Series, as Mayor Pro Tem Lee had mentioned earlier. And lastly, our fireworks that you can see from the top of Grover Beach.
Usually.
And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. That was really nice. Now I know why we like living here so much. So next on our agenda, we have public communications. And we have only one request to speak. However, if there's anyone else who wishes to come forward, you're welcome to do so. I'll call up the request. That was George Aguilar from San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. I believe he has an announcement for us.
Yes, thank you very much. Again, my name is George Aguilar. I'm a neighbor here just outside of AG. And today I'm representing the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. And to remind the Honorable Mayor and Council and the public of Grover Beach that we have a public workshop that is scheduled for the U.S. 101 mobility study, and that's the third phase of public workshops to solicit public participation, education, and input to the planning for the 101 mobility corridor, and that's to prioritize transportation improvements along the 70-plus miles of 101 throughout our county. So there has been two phases of public input that have already come by. And Jessica Berry, who's a transportation planner, has come and visited the council in May 19th of this last year to provide a little presentation, and this is the follow-up to that presentation. We're going to have the public workshop in the San Luis Obispo Veterans Hall on Grand Avenue. It's Wednesday, July 9th from 5 to 7:30, and I just wanted to encourage you all to come to spread the word, and we'd really like to share the information that has been gathered today, both from the public input as well as technical analysis of priority areas along the 101 corridor.
Thank you. Did any of the council members have any?
Good evening. So this clock works fine. My name is Jerry Hirsch. I've been living in this town for about 24 years, actually, almost a quarter of a century. I don't come here often to speak, so if I appear very nervous, I apologize. Originally, I was going to come here and bring issue with the idea of becoming a charter city, but I understand that this is now completely in abeyance and no longer being considered. What I would like to possibly address the council on is the question in my mind. If you're seriously thinking of doing a bond for $48 million, seeing that you're not capable of balancing your budget at this time, how could you possibly dream of doing the debt service that that bond will require? Number two, I know we are in a contractual agreement with the conference center, with the state, and I guess a developer in the southern part of California with a conference center which is going to be created down by the beach there. My question is, if we are in a contractual agreement, is that contract public to my for me to receive a copy of what we are required to do? I've been led to believe from different people I've spoken to that we may be assuming the responsibility of the conference part of it. I would love to know if that's true, and I'm speaking to other people, and they've been telling me that the parking allotment is possibly going to be across the street from where the conference center would be, and if that is true, I personally cannot imagine going to a hotel after it's dark, parking my car away from the hotel, and then comfortably walking to a hotel in the dark. These are just something. The other things, relative to the Stone Soup Festival, which has been run for a number of years, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is this a co-venture between the chamber and the city?
We'll answer all the questions at the end.
Okay. If it is a co-venture, then in my mind, and I don't mean to be negative, the successfulness of that venture, as long as I've been attending it, doesn't seem to be a very effective fundraiser. I guess that's pretty much it. Thank you very much for your time, and have a good day.
Thanks for taking the time to come in. And we'll respond to those questions at the end, and if there are any others that come forward, we'll address them all.
That will be on TV,
It will be on TV, but we'll be doing it in just a few minutes. I mean, at the end of this public comment. So we'll get back to you right away.
We had a moratorium about 40 years ago on water, and we had to take it from the room over there over to the youth center over there, because they had so many people. Contractors were by the dozens over there. And 50 years ago, when the town was first incorporated, we had 30-some neighbors up there that owned their property. There's only about four, her and three others, that owned their property. The rest of them are all renters today. And we came down here with the planners and the council and everybody and tried to show them how to plan a city, not make it condensed and like up on 13th where you had your fun three-story high. But anyway, we tried to save the water. We've got these wells. When they built the Lopez, I asked them to build it higher. They said they couldn't because it wouldn't hold the water. The first year they built it, it filled up. We could have made other small dams around here back in the 50s, 60s, but nobody was smart enough to think about it. You know, it takes a dumb old man to get out of a hospital bed to come down here and tell you it could have been done years ago. It didn't have to wait till today. It's sad. But I don't understand how we can build houses, and I got to shut my water off. Now, 57 years, I have never, ever had to let my trees die or ever had a brown front yard. And she can verify because she has to look at it. And it's horrible. I know. But I don't think that with the way this was planned and everything from years, but that we had the poorest planners, we had the poorest council. Number one, we're dysfunctional. Because we don't have to suffer in water today because he should have made sure about that years ago and others. So what I want to say is, don't make me have to take and shut my water off at my age. And I'm in the 80s and I don't appreciate having a yard and it's brown and the trees dying where I have to go out there and look at dead trees, avocados. You know, they're no good. So I don't know how to explain it to you any better, but I have been doing this for 50 years. And I don't understand how they said here in the paper, the median income is $59,000 for, but I look at those other things. You save a lot of water.
Thank you, Mr. Wysong. Was there anybody else who wanted to come forward? And if you could give us your name and city of residence, thank you.
My name is Tom Tanner. I live here in Grover Beach, and I'd like to talk very succinctly about two items, hopefully offering suggestions of possibilities for being able to make them right. One, I wrote a letter about water to y'all, and in it I was saying that the city of Davis has a three-tier water system where penalties are automatically fit into how much water usage you have, and that's an elegant system where you don't have to have someone going out and checking people's water usage or whether they have the appropriate water saving measures. I've decommissioned 1,000 square feet of sod at my house, put $17,000 worth of landscaping in, have low flow water showers. I just got a $200 rebate from y'all for a washing machine and for having a timer that's efficient, so I appreciate the money back, but I'm kind of at baseline right now, and I don't know if it feels like I might be being penalized for being too in front of the curve for doing as much as I could to conserve water. But back to the solution, I think that if we would incorporate something like the City of Davis or Citrus Heights Water District and have a three-tiered approach where the penalties are built in and so that people are given the carrot and the stick approach to use less water, that might be a more elegant solution. The second thing that I wanted to bring to your attention was I was the state parks, oddly that we're talking about parks today, but as a state park superintendent at Hungry Valley State Recreation Area in Gorman between 2002 and 2005. We had 19 miles of pavement there, so I want to talk about roads just briefly. And we created 6 miles of roads there at a cost of $30,000 per mile of road, which is way below market. I know a resource ecologist there who's also a heavy equipment operator, which is a rare combination, who might be able to be a person that we could speak with about paving some of the peripheral roads here in Grover with that type of a combination of a road surface that we use there. I understand that Oak Park, 4th, and Grand would need a more substantial base because they're more heavily traveled. So I offer my service.
Community of about 131. I'm always confused. Is it 131? Is it 133? Or is it 135 homes? And we're seniors. It's a senior community. And I realize that the bond fund idea would be hard on some of these people. And I sort of think that $43 million for 44 miles of road, that's darn near a mile, you know, a million a mile, which sounds kind of expensive. But then I thought about it, and I thought, well, maybe there's places where we're going to actually get curbs and gutters. And maybe there's places where we're actually going to get sidewalks. I walk every day. And I just happened to see the truck going around checking the roads that was the company that you hired to check. And I went, oh, good, they're actually doing it. So I think the cost may be a little bit excessive, but I'd like to know are other things going to be put in there? Curbs and gutters, sidewalks, it might be worth it. And on the matter of, say, $165 yearly on this bond issue per $100,000 assessed value, not the value of your house, but the assessed value, I got out my trusty calculator just before I came, and I said, aha, that's approximately $14 a month. Well, I'm not a person who goes out to dinner a whole heck of a lot. I'm not a I use the public library because it's cheaper than buying books, although I do support Nan every now and again. I think that probably most of us, if we just got right down to it, we could come up with that amount of money. So I am in favor of the bond fund, but I really want some, I'd like some answers on how much is going to be involved here. Are we going to get curbs and gutters? Are we going to get sidewalks? Or is it strictly going to be streets? Because that seemed like an excessive amount of money per mile. The man who was talking about his water, honey, I think I need to come over and show you how to water your yard. I have cut back. I admittedly have a little tiny yard, and I don't have an avocado tree, but my next door neighbor does, and his avocado tree looks fine, and it has hardly had any water for over a year. I just cut back my water. Instead of watering once a week, I water every 10 days, which lops a third off my outdoor water bill a month. So I think it's just a matter of people using their common sense on their water. Thank you.
Thanks for coming tonight. Anybody else like to come forward this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. And I would like to address some of the questions that came forward. Let's see, the first one from Mr. Hirsch referred to balancing the budget, and the good news is that we've balanced our budget every year for I don't know how many years, but many, many years. So the budget is balanced. As far as our contract for that was for the hotel and conference center, is that available on our website?
First of all, we have a financing plan that was approved on June 4th, 2012, and we can certainly make that available. There is simply an approved financing plan. There is no contract per se yet. Oh, well, in terms of financing the improvements, the contract between the state and the city is certainly available. I don't think it's online, but it's available in the city clerk's office. Right.
Yeah. Both documents between the Pacifica and the Joint Authority and between the city and the state are public documents. They're available for the asking. I don't know who the gentleman spoke with, probably not anybody in the city, but those are public documents.
Okay, thank you. And in terms of are we responsible for the conference and is the parking lot across the street?
At this point, the council has indicated a willingness to finance the conference center as a part of a public improvement, and ultimately the city would own that conference center. The parking lot is on the same site and adjacent to both the conference center and the hotel. I believe those plans are available online. And certainly, we'd be more than willing to discuss the site plan with the approved site plan with anyone that has an interest in it.
I'm wondering if maybe the confusion about parking across the street was the equestrian staging, which now will not be across
right.
the street. And we will be developing the train station, and that will create another 40 parking spaces. But the hotel parking is all contained
right.
on site. Okay. And the conference center, the thought wasn't that we would actually run the conference center.
That is yet to be determined. It's still open for discussion between the hotel operator and the council itself.
And we'll still have public comment on that at some
yes,
stage?
Yes, okay. at the point that contract is brought back for council consideration.
Okay. And then the Stone Soup, that is a joint venture, I believe, with the Chamber?
A little bit of history, as you may recall, it actually started out as a city function, believe it or not, several years ago. It was taken over by with the chamber. The chamber performs most of the activities. We are a sponsor. We contribute $5,000 to cover a certain amount of their costs, plus also provide public works and police support for the 3 days.
Okay. So whether or not it's profitable is really a question for the chamber. Okay. And then the water, was there any question there that we could? Lopez, that has been discussed, hasn't it?
Yes, mm-hmm. And that's an alternative that continues to be, it is an alternative that is under review at the present time, is actually raising the dam. The city has contributed to some of the preliminary studies associated with that, and it continues to be an option that this city, as well as our colleague cities, are looking to undertake.
Thank you. And also, one of the things that I wanted to bring to the council, and we can talk about a little bit later this evening during council member comment, I would like us to have a monthly report on what's happening with the water situation. I think that would be helpful, but that's something we can consider later in the meeting.
I think from our discussion when we first enacted the Stage 3, it was going to take approximately 6 months before there was any real information. The conversation at that time, if I remember correctly, was we anticipate coming back, staff coming back in 6 months to let us know, because that would get us through mm-hmm. the first two cycles of billing, I think it was, or possibly three. So,
okay. Yeah. So we're not expecting any fast answers necessarily. Okay. And then what else? Oh, the question about the streets, curb, gutter, and sidewalks. I believe we covered that in our last meeting, and we haven't made our decision yet whether we'll exactly what amount we'll be looking for. And I believe that there will be some curb, gutter, and sidewalk, but it's not necessarily a component of the full project.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Most of the where you'll see the addition of sidewalks will be mostly sidewalk ramps where they're required to meet ADA law.
Okay. All righty. And that's something we can talk about a little bit more also when we come to that part of the agenda this evening. And were there any other questions that staff wanted to comment on that were raised?
I think relative to the water, just a couple of items. Mm-hmm. I appreciate Mr. Tanner's suggestion. We do have a tiered water system already in place. I believe there are four tiers, so it's self-penalizing to a certain degree to those individuals that are the larger water users. Relative to our approach in terms of implementing the Stage 3 10% reduction requirement, as the council is well aware, we're in unusual circumstances in that we have a very severe drought. Several years ago, the council actually contemplated this situation, and that's what brought about the contingency plan. The contingency plan is meant to deal with hopefully what will be a limited time shortage of actual supply, which is due to rainfall more than anything else. The 10% is being implemented across the board as the most equitable way to achieve the reduction and to preserve water in the event this drought becomes extended. And the other thing I would point out is that prior to penalizing anyone, there is a noticing and communication process. Our real intent is to try and work with customers in terms of achieving the 10% reduction, and we'll take a look at all extenuating circumstances before a penalty is ever implemented.
Thank you. And when I was talking about perhaps having a monthly report, it might be on that sort of thing. Where are we? Okay. Where are we to date, so that the public has that information?
Gotcha.
Okay. Well, Thank you very much. Next on our agenda, we have a public hearing, and that is the proposed city charter measure. And we were scheduled to continue consideration of that ballot measure and receive public comments and suggestions. However, council did give direction at our last meeting not to move forward with that. So because we scheduled a public hearing this evening, we will open it for comments. So if there is anyone from the public who wants to come forward and speak on that, I'm going to open for public comment just now.
Again, my name is Jerry Hirsch, and I've lived here for a quarter of a century. As most of you all know, in our mail about 2 weeks ago was something from the middle-class taxpayers, such and such. And then if you go to their website, you go in and you find that cities such as, I believe, Vernon, San Bernardino, and Bell were cities that chose to do the charter route, which seemed like it made considerably less transparency to the public on how the city is being operated. Obviously, their position is such that it's very miserable to go that route. If you could possibly refer me to a website that would give me the opposite view, it would be very interesting. Also, just a little off the subject, relative to the water, have you given any thought of the idea of maybe when someone voluntarily cuts their water down 25 or 30% from the prior year, that they get a reduction in their bill? Just tonight, I started showering in a different manner, where you turn the water on, wet yourself, turn the water off, soap, and then turn the water on to rinse. It probably saved me about 75% of the water usage. So maybe we should think about what's the correct word, making people save money by using considerably less water. That may be something you may want to think about. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anybody else want to come forward and speak on the charter?
I spoke on the subject of Kay Albertson, and I live in Grover Beach. I spoke on the subject of charter cities back when I think you were beginning to discuss it. I'm totally opposed, and for the reason that the man mentioned, that several cities that have gone for this have done a really, really miserable job of running their cities and run them into the ground. San Bernardino is bankrupt. Bell has sent people to jail after years of stealing the city's money. There's some place up north, I forget the city, that has also gone bankrupt. And it just seems to me like it's not really, when we have laws and rules in place that have worked for a number of years, why change it? So that's my opinion. No, I would definitely vote no on a charter city. Thank you.
Thank you. Was there anybody else? Sharon Brown, could we get the mic over to Sharon? Is there anybody else who wants to come forward while we're waiting?
I just want to clarify council's action at the last meeting voids any consideration of the charter on the ballot in 2014. Is that correct?
Yes.
So we will not be voting on the charter this year?
No.
And it can only come up 2 years from now, correct?
That's right. Anybody else want to come forward on the charter? Okay. I will bring it back to the... Actually, probably bring it back to staff to see if you had any comments on any...
Thank you. If I may, Mayor, mm-hmm. Council members, just as a point of clarification, a charter city is bound by the same transparency and Brown Act and conflict of interest and all the other laws that are applicable to regular cities. The situations in Bell, San Bernardino had nothing to do with the fact that they were charter cities. They had to do with the fact that people who were there specifically in Bell, did what they did. And whether you live in the city, which is small and tries to be locally governed, or in a county, which is larger and closer to a state governed institution, those who commit crimes will commit them in either place. So I hope that answers at least that part of the question. None of the part of the charter would exempt any city from compliance with statewide laws.
Thank you. There were a couple of other questions on the charter. Let me see if I can get back to those. We're not doing it, so it becomes slightly irrelevant. Oh, there was a question as to where the alternative point of view could be heard. Those mailings that went out were sent by the Middle Class Taxpayers Association is actually a union organization that, of course, is opposed to the charter because they have concerns that at some point we may allow contractors to quote without using prevailing wage, and so they're very opposed. So they bring up the worst-case scenarios. However, there are some places where you can get an opposing view, where you can hear the other side.
Yeah, and League of California Cities.
League of California Cities.
Their website has materials on the charter.
So you can Google League of California Cities or cacities.org, I believe it is. Right. Okay.
Madam Mayor, I would also suggest that the individual take a look at the staff reports that we've done over the last several months, because they were, at least I think, fairly thorough, and point out the benefits of a charter city.
Okay, so they can go to, if you go to the website, it's under the government tab, I believe, and you can look under agendas and get that information. Okay, great. Thank you very much, everyone, for coming forward with your ideas and questions.
Mayor?
Yes.
May I comment?
Sure.
I have done quite a bit of research because I have been on the committee with reference to the charter city, and I would encourage anybody that has read some of the literature that's been published with reference to a charter city, especially those that have gone bankrupt, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because I don't have time. But I can tell you that those cities that went bankrupt had absolutely nothing to do with the fact that they became a charter city. Absolutely nothing. But the people that are against charter city use that as a tool. So I would encourage anybody that wants to find out whether it's a benefit or not to really do some research and find out what are the benefits of becoming a charter city. And maybe find out why some of those cities that did become charter cities and went bankrupt, the reason for the bankruptcy, which had nothing to do with being a charter city.
Okay.
And if I could just have one comment on I realize we've, and I'm not sure if this is the appropriate time, so if it isn't, just let me know. I know we're basically tabling or have tabled the discussion on the charter. One of the provisions in the, I think it was the preamble, was a code of ethics. So that was going to be developed as part of the subsequent steps of the charter. Just wondering if we still want to move forward as a council or as a city with that code of ethics. So because that's something that's going to be used as by subsequent councils and by the city, it was going to be developed as part of this. But I think there might have been plans in place to even do it without the charter. So I just figured,
if it's the desire of the council as a whole to have that item agendized for discussion, staff will gladly accommodate.
We might as well decide that now as later.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got consensus with four of us, so yes, please.
We'll try to bring to you in due course.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ethics are important no matter what kind of city you are.
Exactly.
All righty. Thank you. So we really don't need to take any action. It was just a case of allowing folks to speak if they came because we had it advertised.
Right.
So next on our agenda, we have the Development Code and Local Coastal Program Amendment, and that's Development Application Permit Number 11-12, and the applicant is the City of Grover Beach. And this is a continued public hearing from the City Council meeting of June 16th, 2014. And our Community Development Director, Buckingham, will be presenting this evening.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the Council. Just to give you some background on this project, in February of 2010, the City Council adopted a comprehensive update to our land use element of our general plan. The land use element policies are implemented through the development standards contained in the City's zoning code. Accordingly, the city then had to update its zoning code and incorporate those new policies that were contained in the land use element. So in October 2012, the council adopted a new development code which replaced the previous zoning code, and it also adopted associated changes to the land use element and the local coastal program, also known as the LCP, to create consistency among the three documents. And that was then submitted to the California Coastal Commission for their review and approval. So the current local coastal program, or LCP, adopts by reference the city's land use element and the zoning code, which makes both documents part of that local coastal program. As a result, all amendments to our land use element, that zoning code, development code, and that local coastal program all require approval by the Coastal Commission before they take effect in the coastal zone. So we submitted this application quite a while to the Coastal Commission. Recently, Coastal Commission staff and city staff have had discussions regarding the proposed revisions. And at the staff level, we agreed it would be best to eliminate the local coastal, or excuse me, the land use element from the local coastal program and incorporate only applicable land use element policies into the local coastal program. What this does is it would allow the city to amend its land use element without having any Coastal Commission oversight whatsoever. It would no longer be part of that local coastal program. So subsequently, Coastal Commission staff then has provided city staff with suggested modifications, revisions to the local coastal program itself and the development code. So as a result of the proposed revisions and inclusion of exclusion of the existing land use element policies into the LCP, the city staff determined it was best to bring this forward to the city council for your review and approval prior then to resubmitting it back to the Coastal Commission for their final consideration. So briefly, the revisions to the LCP, again, local coastal program, consist primarily of adding 16 existing land use element policies already adopted by the council, putting them also into the local coastal program, and then there were also three modified policies contained in that land use element, most related to open space and resource conservation. There were also a few new policies that they suggested be added related to protection from coastal hazards, tsunamis, flooding, and so forth, and protection of environmentally sensitive habitat areas, also referred to as ESHA. Now, the remaining modifications were minor, non-substantive. Then we have revisions to the development code as well. those primarily consist of the following: clarifying that projects in the coastal zone must comply with policies of the LCP. I can tell you it's a given, but for whatever reasons, coastal staff likes to see that repeated over and over again. Second was adding language regarding protection of coastal resources, sensitive resources, and coastal hazards. And again, some of these policies, although they're new, they were incorporated previously on the Grover Beach Lodge site, so no real major changes there. Third, assuring coastal access and compliance of the Coastal Act. Again, almost a given. You have to do those things anyhow. And lastly, this came from coastal staff. Particularly, they wanted to prohibit large telecommunication facilities, in other words, cell towers, west of Highway 1 only, with some stipulations. So that's the brief summary of the changes to the LCP and development code. There was a lot more detail provided in the staff report. If you have any specific questions, I'd be happy to address them. In regards to the environmental review, a little bit different than normal. You had previously adopted a negative declaration when we went through this process a couple years ago. The amendments did not have any significant effect on the environment. In fact, no mitigations were required as a result of that action. But having to make these additional minor revisions, the California Environmental Quality Act requires us to go back and do an addendum to review those new potential impacts. And as you can see from the changes, the result was that there were no new adverse impacts as a result of these changes, and there was no increase in the severity of the less than significant impacts that were previously identified. So with that, last month, the Planning Commission did hold a public hearing and recommended the council approve the amendments to this local coastal program and development code amendment. Therefore, staff is requesting the council conduct the public hearing tonight and consider the Planning Commission's recommendation to adopt the amendments before you tonight. One last thing just to think about next steps. So if approved by the council tonight, we then, again, forward this back to the California Coastal Commission staff, who has indicated at this point that they would recommend approval of these changes as is, not making additional modifications. You're doing that tonight by considering the adoption. And we would hope then at the earliest, this could potentially go in August of the Coastal Commission meeting. I'm thinking it's more likely to be in October. And upon adoption, if they make no changes, the development code changes and LCP changes would take effect immediately. So anyhow, that concludes staff's report.
Thank you. Any questions from the council regarding this?
Nope.
Jeff.
they're very minor. So, three questions, Bruce. Thank you for the presentation. I saw throughout the document a couple places a reference to California Fish and Game. They've since changed their name to California Fish and Wildlife Service. So do we need to change that, or is that a semantical?
It probably is a change that should be made, and I would certainly go back to coastal staff. They are weary about making any changes. So I would suggest that you actually incorporate that change as part of your motion tonight, and we'll put that in there, and I can't imagine that they would have any objection. Yeah, so
since Fish and Game technically doesn't exist anymore.
Correct.
The only, if I may, Mayor.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem, the only recommendation I would have in addition to what Mr. Buckingham said is that in the event that there are other places in the local coastal plan which reference the organization by the prior name, we probably need to just leave it as it is. But if you authorize us to at least discuss this with the Coastal Commission and if agreed upon, make that change. But if not, then
we would
leave it as is.
From that perspective, Fish and Game is still the known for whoever they are. So it's not like it's going to be a substantive
change. I would argue that it isn't even a substantive change.
Right.
So I don't know if you really need to take any formal action, and we'll talk to coastal staff about seeing if they agree and making that change.
Okay. Gotcha. Second question is on, as my tablet comes up here, page 9 of the resolution. It's part 28. It's the map. So titled Part 28, Map 6, Zoning Districts, is hereby deleted in its entirety and replaced with the following map.
Right. So this was already part of the action that you previously took.
Okay.
Because Coastal Commission's desire was to rescind the previous resolution, we created this new resolution. It is indicated only the shaded parts were really new information for you. So this is your action tonight would just be adopting something you've already previously reviewed and adopted.
Gotcha. And my only clarification there was coastal open space. In the zone, it says it's C-O. In the map, it's C-OS. So again,
you're correct. That should be with an S. Okay. We'll make that change. Again, I would say non-substantive.
Yeah, more clerical than anything. Now, my next question may be the only substantive question, and you may go, no, we can't do this. On page 10 of the ordinance, part 39, item D, it says, notwithstanding anything to the contrary, such and such and such and such, all lot line adjustments and mergers within the coastal zone shall require a coastal development permit, including issuance of a certificate of compliance. So technically, if my planning background remembers, a certificate of compliance basically says you have a legal lot. So that's now going to require a coastal development permit as requested by the Coastal Commission?
Yes. However, if someone was just doing a certificate of compliance, that would be the only application. In that case, the director is able to approve that application. We do have to send out a notice, 15 days review, and someone could actually request a public hearing. But for those types of projects, it would add that additional step. I might add that for whatever reasons this came from Coastal Commission's legal counsel. They really wanted this language in there.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Can we set, and maybe this is a fee discussion question, is there an additional fee that currently is in place? And, I mean, for basically for documentation, a fee amount of a full coastal application might be burdensome.
A minor coastal development permit is based on an hourly rate.
Okay.
I think lot line adjustments, which are, of course, even require more review, are in the $500 range. So I honestly don't think that's more than a couple of hours of staff or consultant to review the certificate of compliance, which they would do anyhow.
Which would they be doing anyway?
The CDP application itself is nothing more than sending out a notification. So
gotcha.
The answer is it probably adds $200 to the process.
Okay. Thanks.
Great. Any questions down this end?
No.
I had a couple of questions, one to piggyback on Mayor Pro Tem Lee's. On page 6 of the LCP and Development Code Amendment, June 24th, LU 23.2 Gateways, spell check changed it signage to signature. So we need to chastise spell check there and get that one corrected. And
that one done.
Thank you. I think that will be minor. I don't think the Coastal Commission will be too upset with that. And then a few other things starting from the beginning. I had a difficulty understanding one line, and this was under resolution page 12, the addendum to the negative declaration. It was the very last page before section 3. And it says that the following zoning code amendments are proposed updates use table to allow uses that previously required discretionary permits and or require discretionary permits for projects that were previously allowed. So I couldn't tell from my reading of that, does that mean now we have to have discretionary permits or we updated it so we don't have to have discretionary permits now?
So my apologies. There was 4 or 5 pages of the previous project description that had to be included in this. So, again, these are actions that the council has already taken.
So this is just descriptive.
Yes. And as you recall, one of the major focuses of updating the development code were to eliminate use permits or administrative use permits and make them permitted uses so we would streamline the process.
Right.
So that's what this is saying, that we did reduce the number of discretionary permits for many types of uses.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. We didn't make it worse. We made it better. So speaking of making it better, can you just concisely say, here are the benefits of what we're doing tonight, where we've been and where we are now?
Well, this is the last step in the process. But what I can say is, first of all, the development code was a pretty wholesale update of the zoning code. We didn't address signs and a few other things that will be coming back to you. But it was really a major endeavor to not only incorporate the new land development policies, but as directed by the council, to look at streamlining. If you remember a couple of the highlights, the commercial use table used to be burdensome to use, and the public couldn't figure out what category they fit into. We streamlined that, and as part of that made, again, a lot of uses that used to require some kind of public review as permitted by right. The second major change was mixed use. We had a requirement that 50% of a mixed-use project had to be commercial. And we have found, especially in new construction for future three-story buildings, that commercial is not very viable on the second and third floors. So these are opening up opportunities that we may not see come to fruition for many years. But that in and of itself, probably with the council goal of really wanting to encourage mixed use, is more likely now to get mixed-use projects in the future. Again, I think we made standards consistent in our residential zones. We had more stringent requirements for coastal residential zones than we did for our regular residential zones. So things like that added consistency as well as reduced development standards to a certain extent.
So this particular action that we're taking this evening, it will also streamline the process because we will have one less step that has to go to the Coastal Commission. Is that right?
Correct. Normally, as an example for the Grover Beach Lodge, we submitted an application to the Coastal Commission. they had revisions. And so they ended up adopting those revisions and then came back to the council to accept those revisions and then went back to them for final approval. Tonight, by taking this action, if you approve it as is, it will go to the Coastal Commission. They will recommend, their staff will, to approve as is. And again, if they approve it as is, it would be effective immediately. So eliminating those extra steps.
That's great. Thank you. And so one other follow-on question. I know that we had tried to make the mixed-use commercial live-work spaces as flexible as possible, and we weren't sure whether we'd have buy-in from the Coastal Commission on that. Does it appear as though we actually do have their support?
Yes. I mean, for all of the positive changes we made, the fact that they came back with these suggested modifications that have nothing to do with development standards, this is, you know, again, adding a lot of existing policies and reaffirming to them that you still need a coastal development permit and you need to be consistent with local coastal program. Staff, at least, is very pleased with the fact that there were so few changes made by or recommended by Coastal Commission staff.
So that we'll be able to make locally the choices about what are best for our community.
Correct.
Great. Thank you. That's good news. Just a couple of small questions that probably won't make or break anything, but I'm curious. On page 7 or 7.1 land use designations, page 11, and that's also in the resolution, it talks about not having auto repair in the visitor serving areas. And I just wondered, we do have a lot of OHV places that incorporate repairs. So if we're talking about repair to campers, for instance, or art recreational vehicles, would that be an exception?
Not in the visitor serving area.
Okay.
This even goes back before my time, but as part of the land use element update, it was determined that trying to get those uses out of the immediate visitor serving area and pedestrian oriented areas, which extend really from the beach all the way through the downtown, if you will. But I think in trade-off, then they were also allowed in the industrial area, which isn't as convenient, but there was also a lot more available land at that location. The other point is that right now we still have a lot of legal non-conforming auto repair businesses on the stretch of Grand Avenue from 2nd to 14th. So there are still a number in place. If ultimately those go away, then that is always something that the council can take up again in reconsidering our additional zones necessary to provide that demand.
Okay, thank you. And another one, the next page, page 12, it talks about structures in the open space resource conservation areas do not allow the commercial extraction of natural resources. It's prohibited. What about horizontal drilling? Is that included when we're talking about mineral rights on property?
So this is a...
This is page... resolution number 14, page 12. It's the backside of the one you just answered. So it's under the land use designations, the local coastal program amendment.
And Mayor, if yeah. I may, if we're looking at, again, page 12 of
yeah.
the resolution,
and it's
open
about
space
halfway
resource
down.
Conservation.
Right.
Yeah. The commercial extraction of natural resources is prohibited under this designation.
So horizontal drilling would not be permitted either. So no one
any,
will be pra- no one will be fracking under there.
Commercial extraction is prohibited.
Right? Okay, great, thank you. And that was all of my questions. I'm going to open this for public comment. If anyone from the public would like to come forward. Okay, seeing none, just now we'll bring it back to the council. Any discussion on this?
I do have a comment. I am really impressed with the cooperative effort of Mr. Kahn of the California Coastal Commission and our community development director, Mr. Buckingham, and his staff, and our city manager. I do not think that this is an everyday occurrence. I think the Coastal Commission has gone out of its way to cooperate and work with our staff. I think Mr. Buckingham and his staff took the recommendations that were set forth by Mr. Kahn. They incorporated them into our documents and presented all of that to our Planning Commission. The changes were thoroughly vetted by the Planning Commission, and my compliments go to Mr. LaFerriere and the Commission. I think they did an excellent job in vetting all of this and bringing it, forwarding it on to the Council. With that being said, I personally am prepared to wholeheartedly support the changes in the documents that are before this Council right now.
And I'd like to say I really appreciate getting the Planning Commission information back in June. It really helps to see it first and then see it again. It really helps to reinforce what we're reading, so appreciate that very much. It's a great report.
Is that a second?
Oh, I'll second that, yes.
So we have a motion with Councilmember Nichols and a second from Councilmember Bright. And I'm also very, very pleased to see that we've got this all cleaned and tidied up. I know it's been part of probably a five-year process of working to build a good relationship with the Coastal Commission and also working to make our own zoning more economically friendly and more user-friendly. So
Mayor,
good job, everyone.
If I may, in this particular instance, since we're talking about an environmental document, a resolution, and then in a separate breath, introduction and first reading of an ordinance that will finalize the code amendments, I would ask that we have three separate motions on this.
Right. Yeah, this is a complex one. Do you want to go for that?
Sure. Okay, the first, my motion to start with was with reference to. Do we need two or three motions?
Three.
Two?
Three.
Three? Okay. First one, then, is the addendum. Adopt the resolution for the addendum to the negative declaration.
I'll second that.
Okay. So could we have roll call, please, on the first resolution?
Yes.
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 Yes. And that's unanimous. Someone want to take a stab at the resolution, the next resolution?
Then let I move that we adopt the resolution approving the local coastal program amendment, which is associated with the development application 11-12.
And I will second that as well.
And could we have the roll call, please?
Yes.
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 Yes. We've got that unanimous as well.
And I will now move that we introduce the ordinance by title only, which will amend Article 9 of the Grover Beach Municipal Code, and that we schedule the second reading and adoption at the next regular City Council meeting.
And I will second that one as well.
So for all three, we have a motion by Councilmember Nichols, seconded by Councilmember Bright. Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Unanimous on all three. That's great work. So moving on to our consent agenda. Did anybody want to pull anything from that consent agenda?
None.
No?
I don't, but I noticed we have a updated report on the dais. Do we need just a quick...
Yes, that updated report just added a sentence that had been omitted from the prior report and just deals with how we are mitigating those expenditures in the general fund.
Okay. And if there's no other discussion, I'll move that we adopt consent calendar as amended?
I'll second that.
So we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Lee and a second by Councilmember Nichols. And could we have a roll call, please?
Yes.
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 Yes, that was unanimous also. We're moving now to regular business. This is item number 6, consideration of resolution of determination of public interest and necessity in connection with bond issuance for street improvements, and our city attorney will be presenting that one.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, members of the public.
Item number 6 and number 7 are obviously related. Your affirmative action on item number 6 will lead us to item number 7. If number 6 does not receive the majority of your vote, item 7 will not be at that point considered. As you are well aware, the city has been dealing with the street condition for many, many years. Pursuant to your recent direction, we have acquired the services of an engineering firm to perform a pavement management assessment, as well as a polling firm, which explored the possibility and the voters' tolerance for potential bond measure. The numbers were presented to you at the most recent meeting, but in brief, city has approximately 44.96 linear miles of street system within the city. It comprises 10,164,762 square feet of pavement. Value of that asset or replacement value of the entire street system is well over $100 million. 71% of residential streets, 58% of major streets are either currently in poor or failed condition. Within the next 6 to 8 years, it is projected by the engineer expert that unless major infusion of funds is put into the system and a reconstruction is initiated, our street system as a whole will be in a failed condition. You are aware of these facts. They have been presented. They've been the evidence has been before you in the last couple of meetings. This item is an initial step in consideration of placing a potential bond measure before the voters of the city. It is a resolution of necessity which determines the public interest and necessity in connection with the bond issuance for the stream. The one question that was still on your minds, at least as of the last meeting, was the amount. As you know, the polling consultant tested three amounts, $48 million, $35 million, $38 million and $25 million.
27.
Your decision was to move forward with the bond measure and have us bring you the resolution of necessity. And you requested that the amount, at least for your consideration, be set forth as $48 million. At this point in time, if that amount is to be changed by your consideration and decision, this would be the time to redact the ordinance to reflect a different amount if that is your desire. If not, we present to you the resolution of necessity for your action, and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Do council have any questions? Council member Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
One question I had was at the last meeting we had asked staff to kind of come forward with perhaps an exhibit showing what streets are considered residential, what streets are considered collectors versus arterials, so that as we move forward with the discussion and we determine the number, what the what streets would be included, what streets wouldn't be included, or whether we can fashion the language sufficiently broad enough to where we can include as much streets as possible if for some reason we don't get all of the streets included.
And I will let you know that that exhibit, we did not prepare this, or I did not prepare it. It was my understanding that that discussion was going to be related to how the amount is distributed and applied. We can, at the second reading of the ordinance and the next meeting, bring you in greater detail the layout. The residential streets are all the streets of the city with the exception of what council determined to be the major streets. And I will, by recollection here, say that those would be Atlantic City, parts of Long Branch, Farrell, Oak Park, obviously West Grand,
Mentone. 13th.
13th.
8th.
8th.
And 8th.
And North 12th.
Did we get Farrell? Is Farrell
yes.
in there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And Newport.
Greg.
I'll just read down the list quickly. It's, of course, West Grand Avenue, 4th Street, Oak Park Boulevard, 13th Street, Long Branch Avenue, 8th, Farrell, North 12th.
Can you speak up just a little bit?
Yes. I'll step back to 8th, Farrell, North 12th, Atlantic City Avenue, The Pike, El Camino Real, Newport Avenue, and Mentone Avenue. Total of 13 streets, mostly end-to-end. Long Branch is between Oak Park and South 4th, so it's a segment of that. So 12 whole streets and a segment of Long Branch.
So, and I think the discussion that we were having last time was, and what I was grappling with, is that the $48 million was going to include all residential streets plus the arterials and the collectors, which are predominantly the 13 streets that you just discussed, where the $38 million was going to consider all residential streets. And so we may be discussing the amount. So if we, my desire, I guess it would be, as part of the bond issuance if we move forward, is to accomplish as much with the most economical cost amount as possible and the most supportable number from the city residents. So if that's 38, we need to do as many streets as possible. If that's 48, so I mean, I have faith in the community that there's enough effort and enough energy to approve a bond. We just need to find the right amount and to make sure that all of the energies are accomplished to do it. So how is there a way, and is maybe we should do this in comments section afterwards, but is there a way to fashion the bond to make it clear that that's what we want to accomplish, or is this considered clear enough for that?
I think that the bond, the proposed language of the measure, of the bond measure, is in the ordinance, which is the next item.
Mm-hmm.
It is limited in number of words. I think that part of the factual educational campaign that will move forward, if it is the council's direction to adopt the resolution and move forward with the ordinance putting the measure on the ballot, will include all the details of what what it is that will be funded by that amount. $48 million, as discussed in prior meetings, will take care of rehabilitation of all of the residential streets in the city, and will leave $11 million for rehabilitation of major streets. There are several streets in that list which do not receive state funding or federal funding for rehabilitation. So that money, at your direction, would be and could be applied to rehabilitation of those streets. Also, I think, as the Public Works Director said,
you had mentioned earlier that you had thought we would be looking at more specifically at streets when we actually discussed the allocation. And so that is something that will be coming forward in the next meeting. Was that your thought?
Madam Mayor, if I could, Greg, at one point we had discussed providing a map, if I'm not mistaken, that would show all of the streets that are in poor to failed condition. And how soon would that likely be available?
Unfortunately, we'd hope to have the map available tonight. We found out, unfortunately, that we'd kind of fouled up our subscription to the program and realized we had to ask for that in addition. We'll get that taken care of pretty quickly, and I suspect we'd have it probably by the next meeting, is my suspect, or even before.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, if I could, as a way of following up, another thought about what you're undertaking. You're actually undertaking a long-term rehabilitation program for the streets that will result in a major commitment, whether that's $38 or $48 million. During the course of the year, you need to keep in mind that the actual streets as they get done will be somewhat flexible because you're looking over a 25-year period. And it's hard to determine, but there can be all sorts of cost efficiencies, et cetera, that come along as a part of management program that in effect will allow the city to get done more than just the residential streets as indicated.
Maybe if I can interrupt for just a second, I apologize, and maybe this is a question for you, Bob, or maybe it's for Greg or for the gentleman from PEI. But when the $38 million and the $48 million were established as those numbers, did the $38 million number take into account doing each individual street individually, or were there costs, order of magnitude savings built into those? So I'm trying to piggyback, kind of get a clarification of what our city manager was saying. Is that built into the program, or can we, and is it possible to anticipate some order of magnitude savings if we say do $5 million the first year and we choose the northeast corner of the city? Would our $5 million go, I'm guessing it would go a lot longer if we chose the northeast corner.
Smaller projects, the costs could increase. Larger projects, you may see some savings. So the answer is yes, that was accounted for.
So kind of piggybacking off that question, would, obviously there's going to be a design component to all of this. Mm-hmm. So in your history of doing this in other locations, is the most efficient method, and we're getting down into the weeds here, mm-hmm. so I realize that, assuming we move forward and it gets passed, is it going to be most efficient to basically design the entire city, mm-hmm. so and then allow the pavement management system to say, you do this, and then subsequent councils say, yeah, it says to do this and this, but because of order of magnitude, we're going to do that?
Another really good question. The answer is if you remember, last time we talked about how pavement deteriorates, goes just fine for a while, and then it drops off really quickly. The answer would be that you would want to design the package that you're looking at for that particular year to optimize the design that you need. Otherwise, you would have to project too far into the future and perhaps make some inefficient design assumptions.
Okay, so we wouldn't design the whole thing and put it out in phases?
You could design, what would be most effective, your design criteria, when you go out and you core and you do deflection testing and other types of things to determine the structural adequacy of your pavement, mm-hmm. that data is good for about 3 years.
Okay.
And then as the pavement continues to deteriorate, then that needs to be updated. Mm-hmm. And so the answer would be you could probably project 3 years and have 3 years of off-the-shelf projects ready to go. But beyond that, you're going to lose your value engineering approach to the projects.
Okay. May I ask a question?
Sure.
And so that valuation, was that using traditional construction methods, approaches, and materials?
Yes, all of it is based on industry standards, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Just a quick one. So I'm trying to visualize the extent of work that we put the cost estimate to. And I assume it's cutting out and gutting out the bad sections, repairing those, and then just doing an overlay. Is that the extent of most of the repair work?
Actually, there could be a number of different options and approaches based on the factors of what is the native subgrade. If you have,
I don't know how far into detail you went on that, or did you just do...
Oh, no, I took into account that the idea that, okay, let's average out some of these different other approaches into
okay.
there. That's why I was smiling, because it's like, yes, I was thinking about that.
Good.
So.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
One more question, and you may have answered this last time. I apologize if I'm repeating my question.
That's okay.
Did the cost estimates take into consideration the possibility that we could reduce our amount of pavement? So let's say, for instance, Saratoga and Newport are extremely wide. So was there a determination that we could reduce the pavement width and then possibly use that savings, utilize that savings in another location? I forget.
You know, I could probably answer that question. No, it wasn't. It was just basically you have 44.96 lineal miles and 10 million plus square feet. Now, through the life, as you apply square feet of asphalt, now, as you apply the actual implementation of the work, you'll have the staff will have plenty of time to take a look at those things that can save money, and including adopting policies that would allow us to narrow streets at certain places like Newport, et cetera, and apply those dollars elsewhere. That will be more in the actual engineering design and review of options part of the work.
I have another, if I might.
Please.
Are you still?
Actually, I was going to piggyback on that. Okay. Just one question. If, let's say we move forward with X number, and a number of, as part of the educational program, we hear from the community that they need certain elements to be spoken before they're supporting of it. Could the council, very similar to what the city manager just said, adopt a resolution or so forth, but prior to the election saying that the amount of street pavement would be reduced in order to, and I'm saying it incorrectly, so but that these efforts would be put forward into the successful bond implementation, or is that too much to put onto the issue?
Yeah, thank you. I think that it would be my recommendation, at least, that that's not a task that is taken on through a formal action of the council, kept in the front of all of the decision-making process and cost estimation, is that this isn't a, assuming successful passage of the bond measure, this isn't something that's going to happen in a year or in two or in three. The project as an entire project is a probably 15-year to 20-year project. And a lot of things will change, development standards, road construction standards may alter, different materials may become acceptable, as the gentleman initially started. But the commitment that the council would be making and is making when it's putting the bond measure before the voters is that that money is going to be set aside. It will be set aside in a separate account designated solely for reconstruction and rehabilitation of city streets. And it will be up to the city councils to apply that money in the manner consistent with the bond measure and solely out of that account. So that money is not going to be spent on any other project. It will be there as the bond series continue to be issued, as projects get designed and put on the ground. You will control, the council will control how it moves forward based on the advice of the experts, and what areas of the city, what streets are addressed first and next, et cetera. I hope that helps.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, it really is Councilmember Bright's turn.
Fine, go ahead.
Made myself snort. I just wanted to, while we're talking about the street diet and how many miles of streets we had, I was wondering if you could just address, Kay Albertson had mentioned about the 45 miles of streets and $48 million. Could you just address the cost of the streets and talk to that just a little bit about how much it cost? And
how much it costs to rehabilitate a street?
Yes, please.
It varies depending on the classification of the street. Different loading conditions require obviously a thicker structural section to be able to support that, and so there are average costs that you apply, and just for instance, an arterial street might be in the range of about $8 a square foot to rehabilitate, including all the additional soft costs and other associated cost that goes with it. A residential
to be significantly higher, and again, given the fact that we've got so much in the way of wide streets and square footage in terms of asphalt that we need to deal with. It's what drives the actual cost. And as I recall, if you were to take a look at replacing all of our streets, pull them all out, completely rebuild them, the cost is about $102 million.
Right. That's what I was saying here. We're talking $102 million to replace the replacement value. And I know we were talking as just a guesstimate for one residential block about $200,000 just for one residential block of street. Does that sound about...
Depending on the width of the road, I mean...
For our regular size residential streets, and they're, you know, they're not little, that's for darn sure. We like these big streets for some reason.
that's really a good question. The engineer in me wants to go back and grab the samples of several different blocks of streets and make sure that the square footage of the road and then look at all those averages to be able to answer your question correctly. It's to say that it's $200,000 may not be accurate given
right.
the fact that there may be conditions on that road that the base has failed because water has been allowed to get into the subgrade and has been pumped with the traffic, and you have to address that. And so it's, I don't know if I could just come up with just an average by block.
I understand. And, of course, I'm not an engineer, obviously, and so I just talk in generalities, and so.
That would be something that we could look at and put together. I know that you had talked in your last meeting about an educational outreach program, and I could see that information being useful in terms of just for people to be able to wrap their head around.
Right,
around
exactly.
The problem.
And I think
so
it would
that
be.
Can be done.
I think it would be very helpful to our residents to kind of get an idea. I mean, because that does seem like for the general layperson, $1 million a mile. That seems like, and that's kind of how people look at it. I certainly didn't until Ms. Albertson said that, and it seems like heck yeah, that does seem like a heck of a lot of money. So, thank you.
If I could jump in on that one, what we've been saying. By way of explanation, when I do the mayor's state of address of the state of the city digging, but I think that kind of puts it in perspective that we really are talking in the millions or 2 millions, and when we consider that our residential blocks are 150 to 250, if it's $1 million a mile, that actually is a savings by doing it in volume as opposed to as piecework, which you'd mentioned, is there a savings in quantity? I don't know if that hangs together for you, but it seems to be the numbers we're hearing.
Well, and keep in mind that one of the scenarios that we were asked to look at last meeting was how much would it be to rehabilitate all of the streets mm-hmm. in Grover Beach? And that number was at $61 million. And so you divide $61 million by the number of streets that you maintain, and you end up with about $1.2-1.3 million mm-hmm. per lane mile or per centerline mile of street. And so that would be about the ballpark of what you're looking at.
And if we had to do a complete rebuild, you were saying about $102 million,
right,
which is getting up to that $250 million mark,
right, because that's
per
60
mile.
$61 million is accounting for the existing condition of the street. Some of your streets are not in failed condition, and so therefore you can get away with doing just a standard overlay on them and be fine. Other streets require much more than that, and so it accounts for all of that in the scenarios.
We've mentioned overlay a few times, and one of the things that came up from a member of the public, a very well-informed member of the public, today was, this doesn't sound great to me because our streets don't need anything right now. And my response was, well, they don't now, but in 15 years they certainly will. And you'll be very glad that there's some funds there to do something. And he said, yeah, but what about the fact that our streets just need to be overlaid a few times perhaps over the course of that next 15 years? Will this project allow for that? Is that going to be an option? Is that something we can build in? Are you able to answer that?
The scenarios that were run assume that treatment is being done to each of the different streets. After that, then you start getting into more of a maintenance type of a mode, and there's been discussions about what to do to maintain that road in that in a good condition once it gets rehabilitated. But it's really only addressing.
We'd be paying for that $5 million, and payments will be made on the taxes, on their tax bill, and then we will progress further, and the next step might be $6 million. Well, we're now up to $11 million, but if I'm not mistaken, over a period of time, that cost will also go down, to not a great extent, but will decrease to some extent, will it not, the cost of the bond issue itself?
Over the life of the bond, and the average numbers that we've discussed with the council are the average over the life of the bond. But over the life of the bond, the cost will start low, increase, and then plateau.
Fine. So it's an estimate.
Right. Well, no, it's more than an estimate. I mean, the averages are valid. The numbers that we spoke about as far as $100,000 of assessed value are as accurate as you can have them.
Okay. And the other thing that I want to point out, two other things, that we may get to $32 million, and due to circumstances, costs may go down. They don't normally. They may go up. But we don't know, in fact, how much we're going to spend. But we're not going to spend any more than we have to get the streets done. So I don't want the residents to think that all of a sudden we're going to go out and sell $48 million worth of bonds and they're going to get hit with a big tax bill, because that's not the way it's going to work. The other thing I would like to mention is I have talked to the city manager on a couple of occasions. We could take a street like Saratoga or Newport, and instead of narrowing the street, put an island down the center of that street that will have a pathway for people to walk on. If you go down those streets, you'll note that once you hit that high point, you have a beautiful ocean view as you continue down the street towards 4th Street. The residents of those streets might be willing to maintain a center island, which will reduce the amount of pavement and certainly reduce the maintenance cost on that street. And also, the residents would be tickled to death, I think, to have that sort of a street instead of what they have now, which is a tremendously wide street that serves no purpose at all. So there are a lot of things in the future that are going to happen, that can happen, that may happen, but they need to know that the bond issue that we're voting on now is going to be done in increments. They're not going to get hit with a $48 million bond issue all of a sudden. And I hope they understand and appreciate.
Explains a little bit about the fact that it will be done incrementally so that it is more fiscally responsible and less of a burden. And the other thing which I found particularly attractive is that as property values increase, which they will as we improve the streets, then the actual cost will go down a little bit because it'll be spread amongst more values. And finally, then at the very end, as we start to pay off some of the initial 5 million chunks that we've taken out, then those will be off the table, and so it will start to decrease a little bit for that too.
And the average, which of the 165 average over the life of the bond, is a very conservative number based on the assessed value increasing. It's based on a 2.5% increase.
So when you say conservative, you're saying that we're estimating a little on the high side, so that
we're estimating on the high side. Should property values increase quicker over that period, that number will definitely go right.
So we don't want people to have any bad surprises. We want them to have good surprises.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Great. And I did have one question myself. I'm wondering how long, if the bond passes, how long would it be before people would start to see their streets being worked on?
That's probably more of an engineering question, Greg. But we've talked about it. And let's say the bond passes in November. I would think that we would be able to move with the next construction season. Given that construction season lasts the latter part of that year.
You mean if it doesn't rain too much?
If it doesn't rain too much. Well, what I'm saying is if it's approved in November, I think you could expect to see it the following calendar year.
Okay, so if it, so if we're talking about November 2014, you're saying it's by June 2015 we might see some streets getting worked on?
Yeah, I would look for about 3 months design, three to four months design, and to have a bid ready to advertise, and then you know, a couple months to get on the street actually working.
And how long is it going to take you to figure out which ones we're going to do first?
That's a whole other question.
So it we are looking at it 6 to 9 months at least.
I think 6 months is reasonable if we've answered the other questions ahead of time, which mm-hmm. I suspect we've figured that out, and maybe looking at some of the options of narrowing streets and other things that could be done. We'd hopefully have that figured out before we went out to bid. So the 6 month time frame's, I think, reasonable.
That's good news. Thank you. Were there any other questions before we open it to public comment?
Just one more question. And actually, it's for Bob, probably. Two questions. So I'm sure you've probably answered this before, and I've just forgotten, but if we take out let's say we do the $48 million bond, we'd move forward on that. But as we go through it, it only takes us $30 million to do this. We're not obligated to, we're done.
This is total authority. It doesn't mean that you will necessarily use all that authority. It's just available to you, and that's why you issue in increments.
Gotcha.
Over a period of time.
Perfect. And then the second one is the assessed value. How does Prop 13 tie into all that? So
doesn't really affect it. This is only because it is a voter-approved assessment, and so it is over and above the 1%, and the 1% limitation doesn't apply.
So your neighbor who's lived there for 40, 50 years is paying the same as...
Yes, but then they'll also have to, they'll participate in the every property will participate in the assessed value. The assessed values will differ
assessed value.
Based on the purchase date.
Well,
right. So,
right.
So it will affect them, so they'll be paying considerably less than...
If somebody purchased a home 40 or 50 years ago and their assessed value was, roughly what it has been as a result of Proposition 13, mm-hmm. they'll pay significantly less than somebody immediately adjacent who has just built a brand new home.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to open this for public comment now. And I see someone, I see one person who looks like she'd like to come forward. No? Okay. You want us to hurry it up a little bit? Mr. Weisong, and if there's anybody else who'd like to come forward, we'd like to hear from you too.
You know, I should have stayed home. I could have heard better, but I had some questions. So I thought I'd like to come down because I couldn't do it. You know, the taxpayers pay for this. I saw all the streets. I saw all the roads. I know Mr. Alex Madonna because of Hereford Bulldog. I know A.J. Deanny. He was a road builder. And Mr. Herman. Now, I want to constructive criticism never hurt anybody. It's a damn truth that hurts. So I want the truth tonight. Let's take 16th North. What are you going to do? You're an engineer. How are you going to fix it? Are you going to do like Grand and Oak Park, mop bucket and the mop and the sand? Or are you going to do like the three men that build streets and roads? And when I went across this last 2 years, towns of 3 and 5, 10,000 had dug it up 2 feet deep and put in a base. And the street will last. Brighton, in the early 60s, they put in the sewer line. The mayor at that time, Al, can't think of his last name, lived up the street. I told him, I want that street like a new street when they got the sewer line back in. That's why Brighton is in good shape. I'm not going to pay when my street's going to be last. And I want to know how you're going to do that. Because I'm a property owner. Next door is a renter. And 15 people around me, renters. They don't have to pay for this streets, do they? It's the property owner. Can you tell me about that?
We're going to take questions. We'll answer them at the end. So if you want to give us your list, we'll take notes and get back to you on that.
Pardon?
We will answer questions at the end. So give us your list,
well,
and we'll.
Say the end.
When you're done talking, when we close public comment, we will respond to the questions as we've done with the other public comments
but
this evening.
I will not pay, and I have put out picket signs when I was working for the big boys, and I'll put one out if you're going to take that mop bucket and that mop and that sand. Because this could have been done years ago, but the people that is in the other room over there, this wasn't here then. When they did Brighton in the early 60s, they could have done others, but they didn't want to. They had other things on the agenda. But the reason why the streets are like they are is because past people, planners, and
have been listening to several people at meetings and social gatherings, and they already have misunderstandings, and I'm really concerned that we're not going to be able to overcome that, and it's going to take 2/3 plus 1 for us to pass this. So I second what Councilman Nichols has said, Mr. Lee has said, the mayor has said, you all are saying, but we are all going to have to make an effort, because they're talking about my tax bill's going to go up, my property tax is going up over $400 a year. I can't afford that. I'll have to move. Or we previously voted to have streets repaired, and I'm still waiting. These are the kinds of things, misunderstandings, that the public has in their mind. And this is going to take a real effort to pass.
Thank you. Was there anyone else who wanted to come forward? Seeing none, then we'll bring it back to the council. And I do want to make one comment. Councilmember Lee is not the one who's responsible for the mop and the bucket and how we use them. Sorry, Mayor Pro Tem Lee. That's going to be something that all of us have to decide with, mostly with the help of staff's expertise.
And Mayor and council members, maybe in response to Mr. Weisong's question, this may give him some. Maybe in response to Mr. Weisong's question, this will give him some relief.
They still can't hear. Can you try?
All right.
Talk loud. Shout into the microphone.
Maybe in response to Mr. Weisong's question, the bond measure is approved, if approved, is directed only at capital improvement. It is not directed at maintenance or repair. It is directed at reconstruction and rehabilitation. So all of the work that will be done with that money is a reconstruction and rehabilitation of city streets. It's not mop and bucket. It's not oil base. It's not overlay.
I wonder, city manager, if you could address how we're addressing the misunderstandings, because I know the staff report refers to that, and we've discussed it briefly, but it's been very brief.
Well, it's going to be a major undertaking of dissemination of information. Per the council's direction, I have already reached out to a couple public information consultants that would help us package the information so that we could begin distributing it. I'm hopeful that I'll have a recommendation regarding a selection of a firm by next council meeting. In addition to that, it is just going to have to be constant reiterating the facts and getting out to as many people as we possibly can. As you're aware, the city is going to be limited. We cannot, once this item is placed on the ballot, the city cannot take an advocacy role, but we certainly can take an educational role. And that is where we'll be directing our efforts. And hopefully what will happen is you'll see an independent citizens committee come forward that will be able to assist with the other portion of this.
So if for instance, Mrs. Brown's homeowners association wanted someone to come talk to explain it to them because there are a number of questions, is that something we would be able to do?
We certainly could, as long and would be more than willing to do so from an educational point of view.
Factual information.
Right. Okay. And I know that the questions come up a number of times about the sales tax, the additional sales tax, 0.5%, that raises about $400,000 a year. And I think tonight it's been pretty clear that that $400,000 a year doesn't go very far towards repairing our residential streets. So I think that's possibly where some of the confusion comes up on that one. And again, that's something we need to address. It's back here now for discussion. Council members have comments or discussion?
Just one point to kind of follow up on Mr. Weisong and a number of other people's comments that I've heard and heard in the community is the initial direction that the pavement management system or the report from PEI is going to provide us, I'll say, once the bond full depth rehabilitation, whether it's the overlay or whatnot. But we do need to remember that our streets, when they were initially built, were not built with foundations. Mm-hmm. So over the course of years, whether it was oil on sand, it's the newer streets that are in the better shape in some locations that have the structural foundation underneath them. So that's what we're trying to accomplish, is a good, solid foundation for our streets to and then continue on.
And you make a good point that that we will have public hearings. And Mrs. Brown, I hope you'll encourage your neighbors and the rest of you, encourage them to come in, ask the questions, express the concerns so that we can do our best to craft something that works for people, that they're confident in, and then they can make an informed vote. Any other comments or question or comments really from the council?
I guess my comment is if this were easy, it would have been done a long time ago. So we've been talking about it for years. I've lived here almost 30 years, and we were talking about fixing the streets then. Everybody who's run for this council that I know of since then has said they ran on that platform and fix the streets. Well, then you get here and you realize there is no money to fix the streets. So it's not going to be an easy feat, but it's one that really has to happen. I think we all know it. So I intend to walk the streets and do whatever I can, because I know it's important for the health of our city and the health of our community. So if we can rely on your help, anyone who believes, like I do and like we do, that it is for the health of our community and our residents, we sure would like to hear from you. And if you can encourage your neighbors and your friends to get involved and come here and have their questions answered, we would really love to have them be involved. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Just a quick one. I'm definitely going to support moving forward with this, if only just to put it as a question to the residents to see, what do you want to do? That simple.
And I like that point, too, because the headlines will say and have said already, Grover Beach Council approves street repairs. And we are not approving street repairs. We are trying to craft the very best bond so that the voters can decide whether or not to approve street repairs. And I think it's important to be clear on that.
Well put, Mayor.
One thing I would also like to
know what we're going to need. We don't have to sell $48 million worth of bonds, mm-hmm. but we have that ability if, in fact, it becomes necessary.
Exactly.
I have given it some serious thought to kind of change my mind on it from the standpoint that we owe it to the residents of this community, if we're going to do it right. And as long as we don't have to spend $48 million, they're not going to pay a tax on $48 million. until and when it gets to that point, if we in fact have to go that far, and I cannot foresee any time that we will have $48 million outstanding because we will have paid some of it off before we ever get to that point. So I think for the benefit of this community, I think we ought to proceed with the $48 million. That way we know we can get the job done and done right.
And I have to say I agree, because I was hesitant myself. I really thought that we should stick with the 38. But now that I've thought about it, and then when I did look at the numbers and I realized we're never going to have 48 out there all at one time, if we're going to do this sequentially, and I do think that we need to have the ability to get what we need. So I think that we need to go forward with the 48. So I would support that.
We're budgeting for the future city council and to make the right decision. And 48 is, I'm good with 48, I'm good with 38. 48 is better, and hearing that, you know, let's say it only takes us $30 million to do all the streets, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Wouldn't it?
We'll never need it, but it's always nice to at least budget for the worst case and then use discretion in the years.
With that, I'll move that we adopt the resolution of necessity as presented to us this evening, which has a limitation of $35 to $48 million.
Why don't we have a second, and then we can discuss a little bit more.
I'll second that.
And just to be clear for the record, it is the number in the resolution is $48 million, which is the maximum. That's the top number.
Okay. You wanted to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to reiterate and echo that I would be supporting $48 million as well, mostly for the reasons that I expressed at the meeting last time, is that this gets us the opportunity to do the maximum number of streets, and it includes the maximum number of residents and the maximum number of citizens in the community. So we start from a place where we're doing as much as feasible, where the 38, I thought we were.
Repair those streets. And so wherever possible, we will continue to bring in grant assistance and any other assistance that we can to repair streets so that we don't have to draw on the bond any more than we have to. I don't see that changing. We've been very frugal on that score.
I'll caveat, though, that Mr. DeVincenzi from SLOCOG last time did indicate that their ability to provide monies for anything but really regional roads was really starting to get pinched. So,
right.
So this gives us an opportunity to really take care of our roads. And I, as I said earlier, I have faith in the community that they've wanted this for so long that as we do our outreach and so forth, that they'll be supportive of us. I'm sure we will get the naysayers, but I think the people who want to be supportive will come out and help us with this.
Okay, so good. We have a motion from Councilmember Nichols and a second from Mayor Pro Tem Lee. Could we have a roll call, please?
Yes.
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 Yes. We are now moving. Let's see. Was that the first part? We haven't even gone to number six,
nope,
to number seven yet.
That is correct.
Okay. So we've decided on a number, and now we need to go to number seven, which is the introduction and first reading of an ordinance ordering the submission of a proposition of incurring bond debt to the qualified voters of the City of Grover Beach at the general municipal election for the purpose of the acquisition, construction, and rehabilitation of street improvements, and it's the city attorney again.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. Having just adopted the resolution of necessity, which permits the city to move forward with consideration of bonding, the item before you now is the ordinance, which is the next step necessary to place the actual ballot language on the ballot. The ordinance would be introduced at this reading. It is your choice, Mayor, if you wish to have it introduced by title only, which you just read, or if you'd like the ordinance read into the record, which I can do, or you can do if you'd like. It does contain some good factual information, which may be of interest. The ballot language itself that is being proposed and which is for your consideration is as follows. Street rehabilitation, save all the funds used locally, subject to independent audits by a Citizens Oversight Committee. And that would be the language that the voters would see on the ballot should you move forward with approval and adoption of this ordinance.
And I think it would be a good idea to read the ordinance into the record if you can shout into the microphone, please.
Thank you. Ordinance of the City Council of the City of Grover Beach, California, ordering the submission of a proposition of incurring bonded debt to the qualified voters of the City of Grover Beach at the general municipal election to be held on November 4th, 2014, for the purpose of the acquisition, construction, and rehabilitation of street improvements. The City Council of the City of Grover Beach, California, does ordain as follows. Whereas under direction of the City Council, staff has retained a civil engineering consultant with expertise in pavement management that evaluated the current condition of city streets, and whereas the average condition of approximately 44.96 centerline miles of streets in the city was rated at 42 on a scale of 0 to 100, which indicates a poor condition of streets citywide, and whereas over 65% of the city's street system has been evaluated to be in poor to failed condition, the majority of which are attributable to the residential streets, and whereas critical reconstruction and rehabilitation projects are necessary in the city to improve drivability and safety, and according to the pavement management expert, unless major rehabilitation of the street system is initiated soon, the city's street system will reach statistical failure within 6 to 8 years. And whereas state takeaways of over $5 million the last 5 years and the recent recession, among other factors, means that the city does not have the dedicated funding it needs to make significant repairs to streets in poor or failed condition. And whereas passing a local Grover Beach Street Reconstruction and Safety Improvement Bond will generate local funds that cannot be touched by Sacramento, require all funds to be used locally. And whereas if city streets are rehabilitated, it will make it easier to drive on our streets, as well as maintain emergency response times, improve safety at neighborhood schools, crosswalks, and enhance safety for pedestrians, bicyclists, and drivers. And whereas, based on the fact that the city receives its revenue primarily from property taxes, there isn't sufficient fund in the city's seventh issuance of general obligation bonds. And whereas on July 7th, 2014, the City Council adopted at least by two-thirds vote of all its members a resolution entitled Resolution of the City Council of the City of Grover Beach determining that the public interest and necessity demand the acquisition of development of certain municipal improvements, street improvements, with financing through the issuance of general obligation bonds, the resolution of necessity, and whereas in order to provide for the issuance by the city of its general obligation bonds to finance the street improvements described in the resolution of necessity, it is necessary for the City Council to pass an ordinance ordering the submission of the proposition of incurred bonded indebtedness for such purpose to the qualified voters of the city at a regular municipal election. And whereas the City Council desires to submit said ballot measure to the qualified voters of the city at an election to be held in the city on November 4th, 2014, and to consolidate the bond election with the general statewide election held with the city on that date. And whereas the general municipal election has been called by Resolution Number 14-41, adopted by City Council on June 16th, 2014, and the City Council hereby orders that there be submitted to the qualified voters of the city a proposition on incurring a bonded debt, the bonds, for the purpose set forth in the resolution of necessity at the general municipal election, which will coincide with the regular statewide election to be held on November 4th, 2014. Now, therefore, it is ordered and ordained as follows. Section 1, the above recitals are true and correct. Section 2, ballot proposition. The City Council hereby submits to the qualified voters of the city at a regular election to be held on November 4, 2014, a proposition on issuing the bonds in substantially the following form. Street Rehabilitation Safety Improvement Bond Measure. To rehabilitate and resurface deteriorating residential and major streets to improve drivability of Grover Beach streets, maintain emergency vehicles response times, enhance safety for pedestrians, bicyclists, drivers and at neighborhood school crosswalks, and promote local economic job growth, shall the city issue $48 million of bonds at a tax-exempt interest rate, requiring funds to go directly into a street construction designated fund with all funds used locally, subject to independent audits and citizens' oversight committee. And the vote is yes or no on the ballot. Object and purpose of bonds. The object and specific single purpose of issuing the bonds is the $48 million. Maximum interest rate. The maximum rate of interest to be paid on the bonds shall be 12% per annum. Section 7, issuance of sale of bonds. The city proposes to acquire, construct, and develop the street improvements and to issue and sell the bonds pursuant to Article 1, commencing with Section 43,600 of Chapter 4 of Division 4 of Title 4 of the California Government Code, or Article 4.5, commencing with Section 53,506 of Chapter 3 of Part 1 of Division 2 of Title 5 of the California Government Code, in one or more series in the maximum amount and for the objects and purposes set forth, if two-thirds of all qualified voters voting on the proposition set forth above vote in favor thereof. The bonds will be general obligation of the city payable from a secured by taxes levied and collected in a manner prescribed by laws of the state of California. All of the bonds are to be equally and ratably secured without priority by the taxing power of the city. Section 8, consolidation, manner of conduction election. The date of the election is November 4th, 2014. The election shall be held and conducted, election officers appointed, voting precincts designated, ballots printed, polls opened and closed, ballots counted and returned, returns canvassed, results declared, and all other proceedings incidental to and connected with the election shall be regulated and done in accordance with the provisions of law regulating the election as specified herein. The City Council has requested, pursuant to Resolution Number 14-42, the Board of Supervisors of San Luis County, San Luis Obispo County, the County, and San Luis Obispo County Clerk Election Divisions to consolidate the consolidation of the called municipal election with any other election to be held within the city on said date. Section 9, procedure for voting on proposition. Ballots for the election shall be provided in the form and in the number provided by law. Voters shall be provided an opportunity to vote for or against the proposition on the ballot in accordance with the procedures to be adopted by the authorized officers of the county charged with conducting the election. Accountability requirements. In accordance with Section 53,410 and 53,411 of the California Government Code, the City Council hereby adopts the following accountability requirements relating to the bonds. A separate account called Construction Designated Fund, Street Construction Designated shall be formed and will be charged with the annual review of all bond proceeds expenditures and an annual report to the City Council regarding their findings as to those expenditures. Section 11, publication of the ordinance. This ordinance shall be published once a day for at least 7 days and newspaper published at least 6 days a week in the city or once a week for 2 weeks and newspaper published less than 6 days a week in the city. The first of said publication shall, in either event, be 15 days after the adoption of the ordinance. The clerk is authorized hereby and directed to make said publications and to transmit for receipt no later than August 7th, 2014, a certified copy of this ordinance to the appropriate officials of the county responsible for preparing the ballots for said election. Section 12, this ordinance shall become effective immediately upon its adoption by two-thirds vote of all the members of the council. The foregoing ordinance was introduced and read at a regular meeting of the City Council held on July 7th, 2014, and should it pass to be passed, approved, and adopted at a regular meeting of the City Council held on July 21st by the following vote. And it will be signed by the mayor and attested to by the city clerk. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the council?
Yeah. I have one. In the language to put on the ballot, where it states, and promote local economic / job growth, shall the city issue $48 million of bonds? Would it be appropriate to say, shall the city issue up to $48 million?
Mm.
We can check that. The language was prepared by the bond attorney. I am not one. I'll say that right up front. And I can check with Mr. Stava if there is a difference. One of the areas, and I didn't count the words, but they're under 75. What? Oh, this is 75, yeah. One of the issues is that we're only allowed to have 75 words on the ballot. Oh. And as much as we'd like to put additional things into the measure, I was just informed by the clerk that we are at the maximum as presented. So if we were to consider doing that, if the council would direct us to do that, we would have to look at changing, taking something out.
Two words.
Mm-hmm. I concur that.
Member Nichols, that will be amended and provided for you. If that is the, and I get the sense that there is a consensus for that.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have. That's all
Council
I have.
Member Bright's already got it figured out. Do you want to say?
Certainly.
You might as well suggest that it might be possible.
I'm just saying that we could continue the series, enhance safety for pedestrians. Just continue that series of commas, bicyclists, comma drivers, comma neighborhood school crosswalks, comma, and just get rid of that and at. And then mm-hmm. you could include up to.
Good. Any other questions?
You may find something better, but that's just a good.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay. I'm going to open this to public comment in case someone's come up with any other questions or thoughts they'd like to express. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council. None? Oops. Oh, wait, I see somebody. Yeah, we'll open it. Okay.
And I have to give Mr. Nichols credit for the idea here. I wish there was a way to put in the wording that the bonds will be sold in increments as needed.
Could you pull the mic down so that they can record you?
Sure, because I've been sitting back there all night going like this. I wish that there was some way to put in the wording that the bonds will be sold in increments up until the 48,000 or 48 million, whatever it is reached, to let people know that it would not be 48 million to begin with.
If, thank
if
you.
If there's a way to word it.
Thank you. Well, good suggestion. Anybody else from the public want to come forward? Sharon Brown?
I second that.
Is that your only comment that you second it?
Yes.
Okay. I'll mic it for you then. You second it. Anybody else? Okay. Let's bring it back to the council. Any further discussion?
City attorney.
City attorney.
Thank you. And the ordinance in its entirety will be published and available for anyone to review, and also will be
because we know we're not. Is there any chance we're going to take the full 48 million all at once? I mean,
no, there is no chance of that.
So could we not use the term increments? Just because the issue is when you say bonds in series, I don't know what that means. I don't deal in bonds every day.
I have a potential solution.
Let's hear it.
Council Member Bright's wordsmithing. So if we, one, two, three, fourth line down, if it says maintain emergency response times, so take out vehicle, and then one, two, three, four, five, six, seventh line down, say city incrementally issue up to 48 million.
Do we concur?
I think,
yeah,
I think
all
that's better.
On board with that, and thank you to the public for catching that.
See we how much we need you.
Bring your friends next time. I think we're ready for a motion unless we have any more comments up here. We can pull that off? We're okay? We'll talk to the attorney and see what he
we'll
says.
We'll find out.
If he doesn't like it,
I think the words... the number of wards work. I don't think that there should be a concern about that.
Okay.
Then I'll make a recommendation that we've introduced the ordinance, we've conducted the first reading, and we'll schedule the second reading and adoption for the July 21st, 2014 City Council meeting.
And I'll second that.
So we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Lee, a second by City Council Member Bright. Could we have roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes, that's unanimous. And we are now moving to item number 8, the selection of voting delegate and alternates for the 2014 League of California Cities Annual Conference. And I don't believe we need a staff report on that. Did you have a staff report?
No, okay. Madam Mayor, I was just going to request that after this item, if we could just take a brief break.
Sure, yeah. Should go quickly. So standard practice has been that we elect a delegate and an alternate. We can elect up, or we can nominate up to two alternates, and I think we might as well. Things happen, things come up. So usually, I'd like to see a second alternate, just because.
If nobody was going?
Yeah.
Okay.
One else is going.
We are all. Four of us are going. Are all five? Are you going as well?
No, I'm going to my niece's wedding.
Oh, nice. Okay, so then four of us are going.
Then I will. May I amend that motion? No, you have to amend it, don't you?
Okay, I'll make it. Then I'm going to appoint you. I'll make a motion.
Miserable man.
No, I'll make a motion that I'll be the second alternate.
Okay, so. And then I will. Second that.
Okay.
All righty. So we have a motion that I would be the mayor would be the representative. First alternate would be Mayor Pro Tem Nichols, and second alternate, Member Nichols. Second alternate would be Mayor Pro Tem Lee, and we have a second by Council Member Bright. And this one, I believe, is a voice vote. Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No? Okay, that's carried unanimously. And let's take a 5-minute break. Will that do it? Okay, let's do a 5-minute break. So we'll be back at no later than 9:05, which is actually a 7-minute break. We have no pulled consent agenda items this evening. We do have some council committee reports, I suspect, and Council Member Bright is first.
I have no reports this evening. Thank you.
So we will move to Council Member Lee, Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
Just have one report tonight. The IWMA has been canceled for July, so we'll see. We'll give another report in September. The Visit San Luis Obispo County board did meet. Basically, the big item was a presentation on the Capitol display box. So each county has a box that has any number of promotional or tourism-related items so that people can kind of get a glimpse of what the county is all about. And we had a presentation, very nice presentation, a number of elements that actually brought in the beach component. The Hearst Castle obviously was well represented, Cal Poly a little bit, Vineyards and so forth. I did ask Parks and Recreation Director Petker to provide some photos because there is, as part of it, is actually going to be an End Savers coming in September.
Yay. Glenn Marsh?
Sure. I had one South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting last Wednesday. We approved the fiscal year budget, which is not a requirement, but they just do it. And the operators report, the plant is doing extremely well. It's very efficient, not using many chemicals at all. The SCADA is still in limbo, although it's all the hardware is up. The software still needs to be taken care of. And then there was one question that I guess Mayor Ferrara had asked of both Matt Guerra Oceano and ourselves, is if we were participating in the groundwater study that they were working on. And I didn't have an answer, and I told them I would come back with one. Apparently they're doing
That'll be a part of the recommendation from staff that we're all working on pursuing the groundwater study.
Okay.
That will be a part of the long-term strategy for dealing with water issues locally. If you remember in the budget report, I alluded to it that it was going to be significantly very expensive. Mm. I think the overall report is or its study will be about $700,000.
I do recall that.
And we will pay a it'll be recommended that we participate and pay a portion of that.
Okay, so Guy can report back and tell him that staff will be working
it'll be pending council final approval.
Sometime in?
Probably in the next 30 to 45 days.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
That's thanks. Good.
That was it.
Okay. Councilmember Nichols.
The Five Cities Fire Authority had a meeting, and we also passed the fiscal year budget. The agencies each received a 2% increase, which does not appear to be a problem. And we also initiated action to employ CPS in our effort to find a new fire chief. So that process is now underway.
What is a CPS?
CPS. It's a firm.
Okay.
That's the name of the firm.
Okay.
CPS.
All right. Did you, I know, Director Ray has been attending the RAC meetings.
It's getting late.
The IRWM.
Yes, Regional Water Master Plan is a major plan. It is the drafting period has been open for public comment. I think you raised it, in fact, at the last meeting. As I indicated, the Technical Advisory Committee for the NCMA was currently reviewing it, and it was anticipated that they were going to send along their comments. What ultimately will happen with the report, it's a necessary report. It's a required report to have in order to be eligible for state funding. The report will go back to the RAC. And then will ultimately go as a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, and if I'm not mistaken, it will be presented to each agency for final approval.
Okay, thank you for that update on that. So I'm next, and the Economic Vitality Corporation met. There wasn't anything at the meeting that was specifically relevant to the council or the city, and the Council of Governments and Regional Transit Authority will be meeting Wednesday morning, so I will report back on the 21st on those. So we're moving now to Council Communications. Any communications?
Yes, please. I just wanted to pass along a little tip that in speaking with my neighbors about the our water shortage and so on, one of my neighbors gave me a great tip. And that is that they keep a container of antibacterial hand wipes by their sinks, and so like in the kitchen and so on, rather than turning on their kitchen faucet all the time, they use their antibacterial wipes. Mm. I thought that was a pretty good idea. So I thought I would just pass that along as another tip. So
thank you. Maybe you can do the tip of the tip of the meeting every time. We'll have that instead of a moment of silence.
So I'm going to say thanks, Pam.
Thanks, Pam. Any others?
I had two, actually. One was to thank staff, because I've seen a number of letters that have gone out either in our kind of copies that came to us based upon water information, and I'm assuming that Mr. Tanner, and then also kind of a shout-out to the Grover Beach Police Department, who are doing something similar with their page, getting information out on parolees and so forth to help the citizens know what's happening and help the police department. So just wanted to kind of say that. And then secondarily, a very timely, if no one has, if you had a chance to take a look at the Tribune today, actually I mentioned it to Cynthia Lambert when she was here, and she didn't have anything to do with it, but it was, there's a great editorial called Porsches, Potholes, and Patriots on the editorial page of the of the paper today, which basically gives a great discussion of what we've gone through this evening and what we've gone through for the past 15 years with regards to potholes in streets, with regards to cars, and how it's going to take a community to fix the problem, because there's an economy of scale that government can achieve in this type of situation where either a private industry or an individual can't. So it's going to be possibly included in some of the outreach, perhaps.
Food for thought.
Exactly.
Thank you. I had mentioned, asked earlier if the council would be amenable to having perhaps a monthly water update. I know we get updates in our weekly letters, but the public isn't widely, doesn't have wide access. They have access, but I'm sure they don't ever access those. So I wondered if perhaps we could ask the city manager on a monthly basis, just in his reports and comments, to give us any update on progress with our water situation. Is everybody okay with that? Yeah. Okay.
I'm fine.
And also, you announced earlier that we had an opening at Parks and Rec. Do we still have an opening on the Planning Commission?
Yes, we do. Okay. And in fact, applications are still available, and we'd encourage people that are interested to submit. And that's obviously through the city manager's office.
That's great. Thank you. Okay. City manager, did you have any reports or comments?
No, thank you.
Okay. City attorney?
Thank you, Mayor. Just briefly, as you may recall, for the past 2 years, I've been a member of the Legal Advocacy Committee and the Executive Committee for the League. I'm glad to inform you that I've been reappointed for another 2 years in that position, which gives me a good insight as to some of the most forward litigation issues that are before the negotiations with Pacifica, with pertaining property with Pacific companies. And the last one is for the successor agency, which you sit as a board for, and that is pertaining to Vernon versus City of Grover Beach existing litigation.
Thank you very much. So it is 9:18. We will recess to closed session.
Thank you.